You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Twist away from Aston Reese. Barzell to the net. Tip score! It is Matt Martin. And it's a power play goal that brings the Islanders within one.
Islanders country, hello. This is PT Isles, the It's the Pits edition. Alongside Noel Fogelman, I'm Joe Bono. A reminder, you can listen to this show and all Lighthouse Hockey podcasts on iTunes. Please rate and review. And you can find us on Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, or over at lighthousehockey.com. Lighthouse Hockey, your SB Nation home for your New York Islanders coverage. Coming up a little later, we'll have a chat with Stephen Nisifaro, who's behind the Islanders Pride YouTube channel and Twitter account at Isles History Today. But first, Noel, the Islanders do not play the Pittsburgh Penguins anymore this season. They drop two games in a row in Pittsburgh, falling 2-1 last night, 6-8 to the Penguins overall. This was a really weird season series. I don't really know. It wasn't, didn't feel as bad as losing 6 out of 8, right? But at the end of the day, the Penguins definitely got the best out of the Islanders this regular season.
Yeah. I mean, thank God we don't have to see him for a few months. If we have to see him in the playoffs, so be it. But it was very weird. Like you said, the series, and just like the last two games, first with the Bruins and the Penguins, they mirrored each other. While both goalies Tuukka Rask and Christian Jarry get hurt after the first intermission, and both Islanders trailing 2-0 in both games. Our old friend Halak comes in, Islanders rebound and take the lead, and eventually win in overtime, I guess you can say. And then we have last night where Casey DeSmith was a wall. The Islanders. The Islanders basically dominated the last few periods. They just could not score, but besides, the power play specialist, Matt Martin. And I don't know, just thank God we don't have to see Pittsburgh again regular season. I'm sick of that team. I'm sick of Chris Letang. I'm just sick of all those guys. It's enough already.
Yeah, I'm oddly sick of Chris Letang more so than Malkin or even Crosby.
Exactly.
I saw a stat. I had thought about this earlier in the day or last night when the game ended, that last night was only the third time that the Penguins beat the Islanders in regulation in a game where Crosby played and start to finish and was held off the score sheet. And that was the first time that's happened since February 10th, 2010.
Wow.
So, when you keep Sidney Crosby off the score sheet against the Islanders, and as we have well documented in the past, all Islander fans know his stats historically against the Islanders. I think he scored more against them than any other team in the regular season. Yeah. Those are games you would like to win. And also a big theme coming out of last night's game was that this was now the third straight game where the Islanders have now fallen behind 2-0. They've done that now 5 out of their last 6 games.
Right.
Arthur Staple asked Barry Trotz after the game, what can you make of it? And the answer is he can't really make much of it, right? He felt like they were ready to go. Yeah. I'm sure they're talking about starting the game quickly and feel like they have the right mindset heading into the start of the game, but it doesn't materialize. And he pointed out that, individual mistakes were leading to goals and breakdowns earlier in the game. Scott Mayfield, we talked about him last week.
Yep.
Another, really responsible for that first goal. John Marino making that long rush to set up the goal. The first goal, and then obviously the Islanders give up a goal late in the first period as well and find themselves in another 2-0 hole. So it's odd that the Islanders have now done this now three consecutive games. But they're digging themselves out of a hole. They were able to dig themselves out in a few games against Flyers and the Bruins, not able to do it either night in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and then it's kind of a disturbing stat. They're 3-8-1 when trailing after 2 this year. So they, if they're going to fall down, 2-0 or even 1-0, whatever, if they're down, they better tie it up or take the lead before the second intermission, because chances are they're not going to come away with anything in regulation, which, you know, it's a shame. But you mentioned Mayfield, and he's going to play, unfortunately, until the return of Dobson, which I believe would be after the next game. Barry Trotz is going to miss a 3-game road trip. So hopefully, but in all of this, we've seen Thomas Hickey, and it's a feel good story. And finally, there's a little bit of depth of, defenseman here. You know, he's hasn't really looked out of place. You know, he's kind of held his own after a little bit of an absence. And I mean, I'm not the biggest Scott Mayfield fan, and I can see him ride the bench.
You are not.
Yeah, exactly. And I know he's not coming out of the lineup. I know Barry Trotz is not going to take him out of the lineup. But at least there's an option now with Thomas Hickey.
Well, he's not for Sebastian Aho. You're right. Saying that because Hickey has shown that he can step right in, maybe quicker than people anticipated, after such a long layoff and well-documented kind of the emotional aspect of his return with his brother passing away from cancer and what it meant for him, even though he couldn't get back on the ice prior to him passing away, how much it meant to him to get back on the ice and contribute the way he did with two points in that first period. So you're thinking that, you know, with Dobson coming back, that what we didn't see for so long, which was that those six defensemen, those three pairs staying together the whole time, you think there's maybe a possibility that he has Mayfield watch a little bit?
I mean, it's an option. I know the whole righty-lefty thing. I mean, they're not Mayfield's a righty, Hickey's lefty. I mean, I don't think that matters as much because Hickey's a veteran. But it's something that Scott Mayfield should kind of look over his shoulder right now and saying he's not safe, even though he probably is. I mean, I don't think, like I said, I don't think Brad Trotz is going to take him out of the lineup. It's been too long now. I think he's earned his trust. But if he keeps making these, you know, ill-advised plays, I don't think he's the smartest player. I don't want to pile on Scott Mayfield, but I mean, it seems like he makes the dumbest.
Yeah, it's the second straight show you've said that.
Yeah, I know. It's, you know, and like previously on the Isles Buzz podcast, me and Dan Petra used to, you know, I wouldn't say kill him all the time, but I mean, the proof is in the pudding with him. You know, sometimes he gets great plays, you know, very, you know, timely goals like he did in the playoffs, but he's at best bottom pairing to an extra defenseman.
I saw one stat this week, and I forgot who tweeted it out. And there are so many different types of statistics you can delve into these days, but it was about a score around what players are on the ice for and against ice calls for their team. Okay. And I think Mayfield was pretty much the worst on the team when it came to being on the ice when the Islanders took an icing. And as a defenseman, that's a bit of an indictment.
Yeah.
A little bit as well.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So the Islanders 2-7-2 against the Penguins and the Capitals. We said no more games against Pittsburgh. But they do have plenty of games coming up with Washington. Yeah, 23-2 against everyone else in the division. 23-2 versus the rest of their opponents. And you look at the schedule right now, and they got a lot of games coming up with the Capitals, games with the Rangers. And I know because of the way the Islanders have played against Washington thus far this season and how good the Caps have been. I mean, the Islanders are playing really well all of March, had a 9-game winning streak, and really couldn't create any distance between them and the Capitals, and are currently 2 points behind them, Washington with the game in hand. But that is an opportunity as well. As much as it looks scary when looking at the schedule that you got tough matchups with the top team in your division, one of the better teams, in the Eastern Conference, whatever you call it.
Exactly. The Mass Mutual East.
That's still an opportunity. For the Islanders, they're only 2 points out of first place. I understand they're now tied with Pittsburgh, but they're two points out of first place. They've been playing without their top scorer at the time, Anders Lee. They struggled a bit. They're 3-4 since the 9-game winning streak. Also 12-game point streak, of course. And, you know, they've had their moments where people have picked up the slack without Anders Lee, and they've had the moments where, and we'll get into it, the first line obviously looks like it's lacking, and then you kind of, you miss that element. But overall, they are still very much in the hunt for the division, for home ice in the first round. Although, if you judge by Isles' Twitter last night, it felt like the sky was falling in.
Yeah. Yeah, it felt like they're like the Buffalo Sabres right now. But, you know, they have a 10-game cushion and for a playoff spot right now. So, I mean, they have some, you know, wiggle room here. But like you said, next two games against Capitals, those are points you can get. I know that they've struggled this year, but they can get these points. And then just move on. Just kind of like, because we're NCAA tournament time, survive in advance. That's all. This time, it's basically every game is a four-point game. Just try to limit those as much as possible. Keep these games basically into regulation, and then you should be okay. But, you know, I mean, the Rangers also are kind of creeping up. You know, they're getting healthy now. Their coaching staff's healthy. Their players are back. They could be making a move too. Now, I'll just have a bunch of games with the Rangers as well. And, you know, the Rangers want nothing more to, you know, than to beat the Islanders and try to knock them out of the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of, you know, there was some panic, I think, at least on my timeline last night. You know, it's weird for me that the Islanders lose two games in a row and it's panic time. You know, exactly. And then the fact that they are, you know, got a 10-point cushion between them and the Flyers for being out of the playoffs. And we're panicking. And that, you know, if it gets down to 4 points with the Flyers still a game in hand, yeah. But, yeah, you know, what's your panic threshold? You know, what does really panic mean? If panic is, you know, 6 points up a few days from now with 17 games left in the season, I mean, that should not be panic. And if the team falls and falters all the way down and loses a 12 to 14 point cushion, then that, you know, that wasn't a team that was going to make any noise in the postseason anyway. So I don't know what more Barry Trotz and this team and this group has to show you in terms of their resiliency and the ability to right the ship eventually than they have over the last 2.5-3 seasons to make you think that this is somehow, these two games is somehow indicative of a lot of bad hockey that's about to come. On top of that, I refuse to get angry and riled up. I used the term this week. I'm pretty even tempered watching these games. Because right now, this is not the finished product for the Islanders this season. I think we all know that. We don't know what that piece is going to be, whether it's Palmieri, whether it's Foligno, whether it's a Dustin Brown or someone else. So I'm not going to get riled up. I'm not going to get, oh, this team is not a contender. They're not in the same ballpark as Pittsburgh or Washington or Tampa or even Florida. I'm not going to do that until I see what is the roster makeup and what is the line makeup and that chemistry going to be going into the playoffs? And, you know, Arthur Staple tweeted out, you know, if you don't want to wait to April 12th, this would be a really good time to make a move. And I agree. I don't know if that's going to happen or if we're going to have to wait another 2 weeks. But I reserve judgment as to whether or not this team can be a contender and make a deep playoff run until I see what Lou does at the deadline.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty even keel too. But, you know, fans, I can understand their frustration since we kind of saw what happened last year. Islanders had that ridiculous point streak. They were at the top of the league. Everyone loved them. Then they had the losing streak going into the quarantine. And everyone, you know, thank God for, I mean, okay, hockey-wise, the quarantine worked out for the Islanders. We all know that. I mean, obviously, you didn't want a pandemic, but I'm saying strictly for hockey-wise, it worked out. They also got, you know, Andy Green, they also got Paggio, both those trades worked out. So we know the track record of Lou. Lou will make a move when he makes a move. He already said he's going to make something. Should it be sooner than later? Absolutely. Because last night's lineup was basically a cry for help for Barry Trotz. I don't even know why Rush. Rush Johnson's not an NHL player. He should not be any.
Did you see that wraparound? Did you see the wraparound?
I saw the wraparound.
That was a nice wraparound.
If it was any other player.
Six hits.
Any other player that
would six hits.
Six hits, great. DJ LeMay, the six hit machine. Hits. Big deal. Hits are a completely overrated stat. I don't want to see hits. It's great. 10 minutes. So what you never want to see a player take an offensive zone.
Take a penalty.
I mean, come on. Bro. I mean, come on. Only time I want to see him in the lineup.
That was the worst part of his game. He complimented him in the post game. He was happy with him in the post game when asked about Ross Johnson's performance. Yeah.
He better not be in the lineup tomorrow. And we all know he's going to be in the lineup tomorrow because it's Tom Wilson and it's Garnet Hathaway. It's all these, you know, goons. I don't care if Tom Wilson says he's reformed, whatever. But also, we all love Uncle Leo. And I mean that sarcastically.
The experiment. But without Dal Cole healthy, what do you... Was it even an experiment? Are we saying that?
I don't know. I mean, it's like you warmed. You had Austin Jarnak on the line. Why not put him in there? Every time he's been in there, he's been okay. He's a professional player. I mean, obviously, there's no remedy until make a trade. But the problem is, does Lou want to set the market? That's the big thing. I know that, you know, there was an Eric Staal trade, and that was a minor deal. But, I mean, does he want to give up the first-round pick right now? Does he want to see how it plays out with the Sabres? Are they waiting, let's say, for Taylor Hall for his contract to go? You know, every game now, every day, his contract goes down a little bit. Or is he waiting for that? Is he waiting to make a move, like you said, for Kyle Palmieri? But this team needs at least two forwards now. You know, it would be nice to have another guy on the third line, someone who is responsible, maybe bring back Derek Brassard. But Derek Brassard cannot be the only move. If you're bringing back Derek Brassard, this team is no better than it was last year. You know, you have Alvo Wallstrom, who's been
fantastic. I mean,
but he's basically canceling Anders Lee out with the production. I mean, different type of player. But
and you mentioned Wallstrom.
You know, I mean,
right. And you mentioned Wallstrom, who's moved on to the taxi squad earlier tonight. And
yeah,
you know, people get all crazy about that.
Exactly.
Some paper pushing. It's a little too complicated for me to understand, let alone explain. But I think he'll be in the lineup next game. There's a temptation, I think, amongst the fans, and I'm sure even the coaches, to say, what would a Eberle, Barzal, Wallstrom line do? Right. But if you're going to do that, you're going to do that at the detriment of a Pageau, Beauvillier, and Wallstrom line that's played rather consistently well over time. So that's why it's so important to get one or maybe even two forwards to plug and play. Right. So you have that balance across the four lines that the Islanders are really known for when they're going well. And especially if they continue to get offensive performances from power play specialist Matt Martin.
Right.
And I scored his second power play goal in his history. He's been great. Right. Exactly. I think is he the second leading left wing on the team in scoring right now?
I think he is. But I mean, I have no problem with him being on the first line until they get somebody on the power play, because he's a body, he's in front, and he showed that goal. That was an Anders Lee type goal on the power play. So I don't have a problem with that right now. But you have Keeper Bells, we need to talk about. If he's not scoring, he's not doing anything. You know, that's pretty much what Brock Nelson used to be before Barry Trotz came in here. And if he can't back check, and it's just like, but give him a chance. I mean, he has more production capabilities than Ross does, Rick Johnson. And it's just like, you're getting him in the lineup just for the sake of getting him in. Try to catch lightning. But I don't know. I never want to doubt Barry Trotz, because look what he's done here. But that one was questionable, you know? And again, if you got the wraparound.
And it's happened a lot, right? You know, if there was, you know, I think there's a rapport between Barzal and Komarov from when Barzal was, you know, in his second year and Komarov being brought in for those intangible reasons with the Islanders. I know Arthur Staple talked about that on his podcast earlier today, and trying to think about why has Barry gone to this lineup to put him on the left wing of Barzal. But the production just hasn't been there. You know,
right, exactly.
If it's a hunch or a feeling or a gut feel, it hasn't resulted in scoring. And, you know, you get a lot of Ranger fans chirping in recent days and showing, you know, how many points Ryan Strome has compared to Matt Barzal, et cetera. But, you know, Barzal's now been playing a month with Leo Komarov on his left wing, and, you know, he's a playmaker first. So it was good to see Barzal get a goal on the breakaway in the game that they lost against Pittsburgh, the first game. Also, you know, had a nice rush that resulted in the Beauvillier goal. So maybe they get him going. You know, power play's been okay, but it was actually quite interesting. They moved up, switched out Pulak and Letty on the power play units. They want Pulak playing on the same unit with Wallstrom because they felt like already teams are trying to take away that shot, which just shows a lot of respect for what Wallstrom's been able to do.
Absolutely.
Why teams don't try to take away the shot of
Ovechkin?
Ovechkin? I don't know. But listen, all I want to say to Islanders country, Islanders nation is relax. You know, it's two games. You wanted to get one of those games. I understand they're not playing well. If they did not, if they had not found a way to win those overtime games against Philly and against Boston, I think I would feel a little different. This was already a four-game skid going into this next stretch. I feel a little bit different about it, but they did enough to win and keep, you know, keep that cushion in double digits with the Flyers. Flyers haven't shown, I don't think, anyone that they're going to be able to turn it on. Same with the Rangers. I think there's too many faults defensively in their game. You know, the Islanders don't have to play great hockey to make it into the playoffs. And like we've said before, any of those matchups are going to be tough first round matchups. If you're playing Washington, if you're playing Pittsburgh, if you're playing Boston, you know, even the way they've handled them so far this year, as Barry Trotz said, right, they play a man's game. That's not going to be an easy playoff series. And it's kind of weird that the Islanders have been such a better home team this year than they've been a road team. And, but yet, so you obviously want home ice, but it's a year where you would think home ice would be not as important based on the fact that we don't expect, you know, full crowds to be in Pittsburgh or in Washington or whatever you're playing. So a little interesting that they just have not been able to carry over their good play at home on the road this year.
Yeah, it's definitely strange, but they still have a bunch of more home games and away games coming up. So, and then they finally rescheduled that Boston COVID game, which is now May 10th. Yeah, so
right, extended the regular season a couple days.
Exactly.
To May 10th with that rescheduling. A couple games to finish up the season in Buffalo against the Sabres, by the way. If you're nervous, the Islanders only up 2 points. Or tied going into the last three games of the season. At least you got two games at Buffalo at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Some other things that happened over the course of the week. What was that?
I was just going to say May. I mean, but right before that game, it's two games with the Rangers, two games at Buffalo, and two games with the with the Devils. So all those teams could be, obviously, two of them will be long out of the playoffs. So those are 6 points you have to get before the game in Boston. You really don't want that game against Boston to mean anything. That because that'd be pretty dangerous.
Yeah, I don't like going into last games of the season trying to get home ice. Didn't work out the last time that had to happen for the Islanders when they closed down the Coliseum six years ago. Worth noting, of course, this week that Josh Bailey played in his 900th game. Congrats. And the game itself did not go well for the Islanders. And I put out on Twitter that, you know, Josh Bailey's 1,000th game will surely go better than this. And the responses I got were, yeah, in Seattle, right? People expecting him or wanting him to be selected as part of the expansion draft. I think Josh Bailey will be an Islander for life. He will finish with the most career games ever played with the Islanders, perhaps, and be a cinch for the Islanders Hall of Fame. That is my prediction. But what I did not know, and shame on me, maybe you did know this, that Bob Nystrom was the first Islander to get to 899 games, but Potvin was the first Islander to 900. Did you know that?
I did not. So I'm assuming that Nystrom had an injury that held him out.
Correct. He had an injury, and then he had an injury. And then in April of the 1986 season, he got back on the ice for essentially his last game. He had an eye injury in January and made a brief appearance on the ice at the Coliseum in a game in April and a 7-1 win against the hapless Devils. And that was it. So he, you know, it was a pretty mostly ceremonial 900th game for Bobby Nystrom there, but I did not know that little nugget that he was the first to 899, but he was not the first to 900. Interesting.
So that's kind of like a round number, just like the Al Arbor 1500. You wanted to get that
right, but they didn't have to bring him back in his 60s or 70s to do it.
Yeah. Congrats to Josh though.
Listen, we'll spend a moment on Josh Bailey, right? Cause I always get a kick out of some of these quotes that come out of the players and the coaches. Just because of the, you know, vitriol that is focused on Josh Bailey from the fan base at times. There was a quote from Andy Green that I saw that said, "I always knew he was a good player. I just didn't know that he was this good." about Josh Bailey. So he always gets these kind of great compliments from his teammates and his coaches about how smart he is, great hockey sense, and yet everyone only just sees him being like a turnover machine that isn't doing anything on the ice, that is a disappearing act, and he's a passenger and this and that. There's some massive disconnect between the way his teammates view him and coaches view him in terms of his value than what we see maybe just watching on the TV screen.
Yeah, I mean, Islander fans, is he hurting the team more than helping the team? I'll pose that question right now. He helps the team more than he hurts it.
Well, considering what the other options would be, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so, I mean, he's a lifer. He's been here forever. Got the 901 games now. He's an Islander, okay? Why root against a player on your team? I never understood that. You want the guy to succeed, right? And that, and also,
yeah, some people want to just be, you know, told that they're right. You know, they want to be right.
Well, you know what? Then
sometimes, so they're willing to gloat and be happy when he has bad moments. But he's sitting now at 901 games. Brian Trottier, of course, the all-time leader in games played with 1,123. Okay, so he's 223 games away. That's three seasons.
Yeah,
if he stays healthy,
he can definitely do it. Which would kill Islander fans.
Amazing.
And that's why I wanted to do it even more. I'm pro Bailey. I'm sorry. I mean, like I said, I don't root against any players unless it was Kurt Muller.
People being against Bailey has made me pro Bailey more so than it would have been pro Bailey if everyone just didn't try to get on him. You know, with more angst than they do some other players when they make mistakes.
Right. That being said, if he does get selected by Seattle, I won't cry because it takes his contract off the hands, which is $5 million.
Right.
You hate to see him go, but you wouldn't mind it because the money, and they certainly need free up space.
I mean, that's part of the equation here too with the rentals. Right. Yeah. Before we wrap up the segment, that the Islanders would not have had any ability to make any kind of significant move if Anders Lee did not get hurt.
Exactly.
Right. Because if there was an option to trade someone with salary and term like a Komarov, like a Hickey, I think it would have happened. Now maybe Hickey has come back and showed some value there and he can be a depth defenseman for someone, I don't know, as part of a deal with picks to get someone back. We shall see. But if they bring back any player with term, like Dustin Brown, for instance, who has another year, it'd be a nice player to have in your top line the following year. But how do you make that work for the following year? So there's certain constraints and why a rental makes, you know, even more sense than it would maybe in another year, because you're expecting Lee to be back for the start of the season and that salary to be back on the books, and you're not expecting to be able to have flexibility. And we really don't expect the salary cap to be moving upward and onward next year in the NHL either.
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess the longer season goes, easier it'll be to even get Taylor Hall if you want one. Another guy who could be interesting, I know the Islanders wanted him in right before the season, was Mike Hoffman, who was scratched the other day by St. Louis. Not having the year that most Blues fans would hope, he only has, I think, 8 goals, but he'd be a pure rental, and he would certainly help. He's a proven goal scorer. Maybe change of scenery would help playing with Barzal. I think that'd be a fantastic move. And then you bring in a secondary forward. Even you can bring Palmieri. If you have both those guys, your top nine is fantastic. Or like I said before, you know, a reunion with our old friend Derek Brassard wouldn't cost much, probably a fifth round pick. Yeah, I mean, yeah, I wouldn't be.
This is going to be exciting. There's been years where you hope the Islanders would make a trade. And they didn't, or made a trade that was underwhelming. There was last year where I don't know whether or not I really believe the Pageau deal was going to happen. And it did. And they gave up a first and second round pick to make it happen. And then the extension. So that was a bit of a surprise. But I don't really recall a year like this where it was almost a foregone conclusion that they were going to do something. And we're just waiting to see what it's going to be. Is it going to be the hot name, the Taylor Hall name that you say, change the scenery, get him motivated here. He's a free agent. See if he can play his best hockey playing with Eberle, Barzal, and Taylor Hall and catch lightning in a bottle. You go that route. Do you go the Kyle Palmieri route? A guy that would clearly fit what the Islanders like to do. you know, Foligno, another leadership type personality. Dustin Brown, again, another aging veteran type of power forward type. So it's going to be exciting. I think the team and certainly the fan base will have a boost no matter what direction they go. And we just got to be a little bit more patient to see what it ends up happening.
Yeah, and you also kind of have to look at the standings, because there was talking a couple of weeks ago how Natural Predators were going to have a fire sale with, you know, Forsberg and Victor Arvidsson. Right now they're in the playoffs. You know, they had a great stretch right now. So I wouldn't be so, you know, sure that they're, you know, going to be trading players if they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot. So that's another team you have to monitor. And if Lou wants one of those guys, he might have to wait to the deadline. I'm in the camp where you should make the move now, because you need to have the chemistry of these players. You need to get them playing. You can't afford to have any more losses. I mean, I know, I'm not panicking or anything like that, but you want to make sure the team, you know, gets situated, can play together. And why wait? Why give up points when you don't have to?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't know if it's just because you're going to give up a higher draft pick now.
And listen, unfortunately, Lou will not be telling us on Twitter what's happening in right. negotiations, like some other executives in other sports may let their feelings be known and maybe put them in better or worse negotiation position. By the way, just quickly on that, like, the guy is obviously Steve Cohen, of course, is a brilliant businessman and a shark.
Yeah.
And yet I really don't think this is smart. But no, maybe I'll be wrong. But I'm like, it seems like a no-win situation here. Either alienate your player or turn the fan base against him, or I'm not sure what's going on. You know? And I really just respect the way Lou has done it. It's frustrating as a fan to not get any information out, to get excited, to hear the rumor mill going.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know how difficult it must be to not have anything ever leak, but you must have so much respect of your circle as well. It's not just a one person thing that Lou doesn't talk. It's that circle that's around him respects him so much. Everyone keeps their mouth shut.
Yeah.
You know, whereas yesterday with the Mets, you know, you found out what the Mets had offered Lindor, and then you found out like within a few minutes later that he had rejected, and this is what he was looking for. That's coming from the Mets for a reason.
Right.
You know, using the media in that way. And I don't know, not that he needs my respect or anyone else's, but pretty impressive that Lou Lamoriello was able to do this and keep things very private all the time and very, you know, buttoned up. You know, I don't know how he does it, but he's done it for now 50 years.
Yeah. And it was pretty funny though. The previous general manager, nothing really came out either.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he like Lou has, you know, press conference, he'll talk, won't say much, but we never heard from Garth. You know, he was, you know, shacked up somewhere. We heard him maybe once a year, whereas it seems like Lou at least talks, well, at least once a month. He does interviews, you know, on NHL Network radio. But Garth, you never heard anything. So it's just kind of funny how you get two, you know, similar philosophies, but the quality of the job is quite different.
Yeah.
You know, and I kind of made a joke on Twitter about Steve Cohen. It's like, he should just save the money on Lindor and end up buying the Arizona Coyotes because it's the same amount of money. You know, we can spend $300 million, might as well a hockey team.
Is that, no, it's true. It's wild. It's wild, but it's true.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't think the Islanders will be bringing back black jerseys.
The Nets. Please, no. Please. None of them.
Nostalgia. That nostalgia will not return. But we will be talking nostalgia in our next segment. When we come back, I'll have an interview with Steven Nisifaro. Steven is behind the Islanders Pride YouTube channel and the Twitter account at Isles History Today. Spoke to him a couple days ago. Hope you enjoy the interview. You're listening to PT Isles, part of the Lighthouse Hockey Podcast Network.
For nearly four decades, JMK Security Solutions has provided protection for homes and businesses. I know firsthand. I'm Jeff Beckman, and with my wife, Kim, we started JMK Security Solutions. Our attention to detail, service after the sale, and product knowledge are the foundation of our success. JMK Security has routinely been recognized as the best of Madison for security companies. We expect that trend to continue as the next generation, our son Jeffrey, takes over as president. Let us protect what is valuable to you. JKSecurity.com.
We're back, PT Isles, Joe Bono with you, and I'm joined now by Steven Nisifaro, who is behind the @IslesHistoryToday Twitter account and the YouTube channel @IslandersPride that has over 1,600 Islander videos and over 3,000 subscribers. Steven, appreciate you making the time. Thanks so much for joining us.
I'm great. Thanks for having me on.
So we mentioned Steven's site on the show last week. Islanders Pride at this point has over 1,600 videos and 3,270 subscribers. Steven, tell us how you were able to amass this massive collection of Islanders videos.
Well, it started off a couple different ways. It started off from my collection of games on DVD, which started with I started with about two games, and it's now into the hundreds. So it kind of started with that. It also started with just finding clips online and from other videos and from pretty much anywhere I can find them, and I add them to the channel. I find clips off of tapes of newscasts. I find highlight shows and old sports shows and things like that, and I put them on there. And of course, there's the usual places where you get like Hockey Night in Canada and things like that. Those kinds of clips. And so it started about the channel started about 10 years ago, I want to say. And I didn't start off with very many videos. It was a slow process, but I've been very fortunate. I've been able to grow my collection and grow my my archive, and I think I'm pretty happy with the way things have been going so far.
So I think everyone would be, expecting that you'd have some of the great moments from the Dynasty era on here, or even some playoff games here and there. But you mentioned before about these, highlights from sports telecasts where you'll see, Len Berman back in the 80s or Russ Salzburg or whomever else kind of going into these, or Sal Marciano going into these Islander clips. How do you go about finding, random, Saturday Night Islander games from the 70s or 80s and their, 60 to 90 second clip of that highlight of that game?
Sometimes you just got to get lucky. You got to look up the actual newscasts from when they happen. Sometimes, you get lucky, and I have tapes of a bunch of them. I have a bunch of highlight tapes, and I have a bunch of different things like that. Like different compilations and stuff that I have that I'm also going to be putting on the channel. It's stuff like that, but it takes a lot of digging and it takes a lot of, man hours to find this stuff. Cause it's not, it's not easy to find clips of Islander games from, 30, 40 years ago. So, you just got to put in the work and the effort. And sometimes you come out with a nice little clip.
Is there any specific tool that you use or website where you are able to kind of search the database for these sports telecasts or news telecasts and kind of find that sports segment to see whether or not they covered the Islanders that night?
Well, the schedule, I use Hockey Reference when I do the Twitter page. Hockey Reference is an invaluable resource to people like me and people who do stats and all that stuff. Tremendous website. So that helps me immensely to know, the dates that they played, if they won, who they played, all that stuff. And then you look up the, if there was a sports show on that from that day, or if there was a news show on that day, and or if I happen to have the actual game. So, I have a pretty decent amount of full games on there too, but it's just using Hockey Reference and cross-referencing that and going out and trying to find some clips.
So how much of this is things that you're sourcing compared to maybe a collection that you had yourself, like whether in your family or yourself, were there old VHS tapes of games that you've converted, or it's mostly been sourced online?
Well, I started off with two games in my collection that were from my personal collection from when my actually my grandmother had taped a couple of games, and I had them, and I started with them, and I started trading with people on the trade circuit, and my collection just kept growing and growing and growing. So that's kind of how that happened.
So explain that to me. You said that there's a trade. There was a trade circuit for tapes of Islander games that you were able to go into.
Oh yeah, there's a trade circuit for old hockey games. There's it's a tremendous community. It's alive and well. I still get emails from people all the time looking to do trades. And we burned games to DVD, and we trade them. You make up your own lists. You type up your own list of what you have. You send them a list, and then they send you a list of what they have. And then if you find some games that you want or you don't have, then they find games that they have they want you that they don't have, and you get a trade going.
Is there any wish list out there for games that have been elusive to this point that you've been trying to track down, especially?
I mean, luckily, the Islanders aren't that old of a franchise where some games are elusive to find. Like, you're talking about the VCR era, so a lot of the games are available and are out there. I mean, I can't think of any that I really want that I don't already have. It's just a matter of if there's a game that I don't have and I know I don't have it, I'll go look for it, and I'll go see if anyone else has it.
So in terms of the games that are more contemporary in recent years, obviously there's NHL.com, and there's, you would expect there would be game recaps and things like that. Are you concerned with trying to capture the full games of, let's say, like last year's Islander playoff run, for instance, and have that available on your channel, or are you not really concerned about kind of the here and now as much as trying to capture games from the 70s, 80s, and 90s?
Well, it's interesting because the NHL is, they're pretty strict about putting more recent games up. Like, they'll block you on YouTube if you try to put up a more recent game from, like, the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 years. I have tried to do that. I do have games from very recent that I can get that I can put up, but they won't let me put them up, though, because the NHL is very strict about that for some reason.
We're talking to Steven Nisifaro, who hosts the Islanders Pride YouTube channel, as well as runs the Isles History Today Twitter account, described as daily history and remembrances of the NHL's New York Islanders through our personal archive of print and videos. Check us out on YouTube, Islanders Pride. And today, for instance, we're recording this on March 24th. You say, you know, on this day in 2013, Islanders beat the Panthers 3-0 at the Coliseum. Islanders scored first period power play goal, McDonald, and then two empty net goals in the third, our former captain and Tsitsikas. So how do you line up these on this day in Islanders history? Do you kind of, what's the preparation like to kind of match the date with the videos that you're going to share later on that day on Twitter?
Well, I do this every day. I use my own channel, and I go in the search bar to search the videos of my own channel, and I'll put in the date. And then from there, I'll get, you know, however many games or clips there are. And then from there, I'll go to Hockey Reference, and I'll look up each game, and I'll make sure that I get the box score. If they don't have the box score, I try to give as much info as possible. But they have box scores from 1980 on. So I look up the box score, look up all the info, and try to get that information into the 240 characters that Twitter allows you to write for a clip. Sometimes, you know, it doesn't always work out where I can put everything in one tweet, but usually it's pretty good where I'm able to put up a clip and I'll record the clip off my phone, and then that's how I'll put it on Twitter. And I've been doing this for almost 3 years now, and it's been really good to see the response from everyone that has supported me through the channel, and I'm just very thankful for all the support that I've gotten for the YouTube channel and for the Twitter.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an incredible resource, and I certainly look forward to seeing it every day. And you know, the reason why Noel and I got to talking about you last week was Zibanejad had the 6-point period against the Flyers, and I knew that Brian Trottier had done that for the Islanders, and looked it up on YouTube, and there was the entire game with the I think the radio feed with Stephen Albert and Stan Fischler doing the call. And you know, I had never watched highlights of that game before, but was able to kind of pull out a couple highlights and tweet them out and tag you in it as the credit for that source. And you know, as we get further and further away from those dynasty years, I think it's just more and more important that Islander fans kind of go back and watch clips from those times.
Yeah, I mean, the one of the most rewarding things for me, and most heartwarming things for me was someone told me one time talking to me about my channel. They said, "Thank you for bringing the dynasty alive, keeping the dynasty alive," and that's something that I took to heart, because it especially for younger fans that didn't get to see all those great teams and all those great moments, it really helps to bring them to life and give them their proper respect that they deserve by putting them on YouTube. And interestingly about that, the Trottier game, that game was a very rare game, hard game to find in the trade circuit. I was lucky to get it, and I had it for a couple years before I put it online. I finally decided to put everything I possibly could in my collection online, and that was one of the games. So, I'm happy that, people are watching and they're able to tune in.
So what did you have to trade to get the Trottier game? Could you tell us?
I don't even remember. It was like 2 or 3 years ago, maybe even longer than that. I think I had to give up game two from the 80 series against Boston, the fight game when they had the big bench clearing brawl. I think that game was part of it. Okay. I'm trying to think. There was a couple other ones in there too, but I do remember the game two against the Bruins in 1980 was definitely one of the games.
So when you're trading it, you're trading the digital copy of the game, or are they looking for a hard, DVD or a VHS version?
When you trade, they prefer that you give DVDs, but I mean, it's gone even beyond trading for DVDs now with the way technology is, that you just put games up online and everyone can just, see them. I think that would be ideal for everyone. Just put all the games, make the games all available online, for mass consumption.
Just have a big clearinghouse of all the Islander games that people can kind of give and share and borrow. I mean, no one's getting rich off of this at this point, right? It's just about getting the history of the team to the fan base. Steven, just a little bit more about yourself. How far back do you go with the team?
I go back to 1991, the year I was born. I was born and raised an Islander fan. My dad's been an Islander fan since 1972. He started going to games in high school, and he's been an Islander fan ever since. And he was really the one who raised me to be a diehard Islander fan. Although I didn't really become a diehard Islander fan until the 2002 playoffs with Toronto, that series really made me a diehard for life. But I was born and raised an Islander fan. Me and my dad have season tickets. We've been season ticket holders since 2011, and it's the Islanders are just something that we bond over, and it's a tremendous thing.
All right, I must say, like, I had you pegged as someone that was in their 60s, you know, had grown up with the Islanders, was a fan since 1972, and made this his life's mission's work to get all the history of the Islanders online. So somewhat surprised that you're a relatively young Islanders fan, certainly younger than me. I was born 82. That 93 playoff run was kind of the defining moment for me in terms of becoming a diehard for life. Obviously the blue and orange runs deep with the history with you and your father. Are you guys, have you been to any of the games so far this season? As a season ticket holder, were you guys able to be among the 1,000 or so in attendance yet so far?
Yeah, we went on the 20th, the 6-1 win. So that was a lot of fun. We hadn't been there in over a year, and it was just great to be back in the building and to, you know, see some familiar faces that you hadn't seen in a while. And there's nothing like going to an Islander game at Nassau Coliseum. It's so special. And to get that feeling back was huge. We really enjoyed it and really appreciated it.
And assume the seats are all picked out for Belmont as well?
Yes, sir. Section 110, row 11, seats 1 and 2.
Fantastic. Got to get you a tour of that place. I feel so left out. I feel like so many people have gotten the opportunity to tour, unless you probably maybe have the dirt and have gone on the tour already.
Yeah, no, the Booster Club did a tour. We weren't able to go on it, though, but we're part of the Booster Club, and they had a tour.
Awesome.
Yeah. They do a great job, and we'll get to see it eventually. It'll be open soon, and we'll all be able to get in. So I'm not going to lose too much people for not getting a tour.
I think I'll be spending many nights and afternoons there over the many decades to come. Well, Stephen, I really appreciate this. I learned a few things about how this all came about. Make sure if you're listening to follow him on Twitter at Isles History Today and subscribe to the YouTube channel Islanders Pride, closing in on 1,600 videos and on his way to 4,000 subscribers. So, Stephen, congratulations, I should say, on the success and how important this has been to Islander fans that have recently found you. And I will continue to be retweeting your work as you continue to capture the moments on this day in Islanders history. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thanks again to Stephen Nisifaro, and be sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel, Islanders Pride. Check out the Twitter account at Isles History Today. Some new videos coming out, usually a daily on this day in Islanders history. I certainly get a kick of games I either remember watching or footage I've never seen before. Really good follow. And we learned some interesting tidbits there, Noel, in that interview. I could not believe that there was actually a somewhat black market, if you want to call it that, of ways of trading tapes of games, right, and videos. And that's how he accumulates all these videos and puts on his channel, that there is some kind of forums and message boards, and I'll trade you the 1985 game 4 if you give me the 1993 game 6. That's how he does it, which was surprising to me.
Right. It's like the pre-blockchain stuff, all the NFTs going on around that. It's legit.
He's got to buy the cold storage device to have, yeah, you know, the all the games on someday. So unfortunately, like he said in the interview, the NHL's gotten a little strict around the games, the more recent games. You could find them elsewhere, but in terms of him building his own library for more recent games, a little bit more difficult to post it up there. Now, one game that hopefully we all get to see and remember a long, long time, and won't even need to have the video footage of it, is coming up on April 3rd, and that is Nickelodeon night for the Islanders. And I'm super excited about this. I am a frequent Nick Jr. watcher now with my daughter. We love Paw Patrol specifically. I'm very excited about this. When the NFL playoff game of the Bears and Saints happened,
yeah,
I watched the entire game on Nickelodeon.
Me too.
It was the playoff game I had the least interest in, kind of, you know, and I watched the entire game on Nickelodeon. I got a kick out of it. It was over the top. It was somewhat ridiculous at times, you know, touchdown and slime and everything else happening. But right. I think this will be pretty fun.
I'm super excited. I can't wait. Hopefully I don't think the broadcast will be like that. They won't be slamming somebody in the, maybe they should slam somebody in the penalty box.
I'm sure they will slam someone. I'd be disappointed if they did not.
Yeah, absolutely. Maybe they'll have, you know, Patrick Starr be one of the linesmen or something like that. But you mentioned Paw Patrol, and thankfully my daughter isn't watching anymore, so hopefully I'm going to avoid my son altogether. Mayor Goodway is probably the most incompetent politician I've ever seen in my life.
Have you seen Bill de Blasio?
I mean, we can go, you know, a whole different route there. But yeah, I mean, it's like, I don't know if he talks to a chicken though, right? I mean, who knows? Maybe he does.
No, but they do call him, the New York Post does call him Big Bird.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a little bit of a cartoonish character in that way. Yeah. You know, what they did on the NFL game, for those that did not watch, is they explained the game in a way that was for a kid. And
yeah, absolutely.
And also, I think hockey sometimes doesn't attract the fair weather fan, because, you know, the game can be fast and maybe you don't understand the rules. And, you know, and if you haven't played it, I think not as many people play hockey that they do some of the other sports like basketball or baseball growing up. And they kind of know the game from there. And then the terms and what they see on TV kind of mirrors what they remember playing. I think hockey, not everyone that's a huge hockey fan actually played. Now, at the same time, I don't know how many fans this is going to attract to the game that aren't already big time hockey fans, but I am interested in having them, you know, try to explain offsides and try to explain icing. And I don't know what the lineup is and who they're going to plan to actually be the broadcasters of that game. Maybe they've announced and I haven't seen it yet for Nickelodeon that I am Eagles kid Noah do it. With Nate Burleson, who did a really good job, and some other Nickelodeon personalities. So I'll be curious to see who they decide to have in the booth.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really, really looking forward to it. I remember ESPN when they actually had hockey many years ago. They had what we call hockey rules broadcast, where it was, you know, basically catered toward, you know, towards explaining everything. It wouldn't be like a, you know, like a nuts and bolts broadcast, but they would, you know, focus on certain, you know, they would focus on the faceoff a little more and explain icing and, you know, all the penalties and this like that. They do quick little like vignettes that they shot, you know, prior with the ESPN talent about certain things. So that was, you know, a really good broadcast. But like, maybe they will have Ian Eagle's son again, Noah Eagle, who was fantastic. I don't know how much Nate Burleson knows about hockey, but he was fantastic as well. We'll see what happens. I wouldn't mind hearing Tom Kenny, the voice of SpongeBob, do some color in that game. Yeah, but yeah, I'm looking forward,
Lou Lamoriello interview with the Nickelodeon crew would be quite interesting what they could see.
Now Lou getting slime,
what they can get out of Lou.
Yeah, Lou getting slime. That might be it. Something I want to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They gave out the player of the game, I think, at the end of that football Mitchell game, and then someone was supposed to get slimed at the end of the game. Yeah. And I think actually the coach was supposed to get like the Gatorade slime, and it didn't really happen. So again, we'll see how they incorporate some things, but I think a cool idea. I certainly got a kick out of it during the playoff season for the NFL. And if I was a kid, I'd be even more excited. And if I had a young, you know, if I like, I do have a young kid, but she's a little too young to understand hockey. But if I had a 6, 7, 8 year old, I'd be very excited to watch the game with them.
Yeah, absolutely. So like, besides like Nick Jr., what are some of your favorite Nickelodeon shows?
I mean, growing up, it was more about like, you know, Double Dare was kind of the thing growing up, right?
Right.
You know, Nick, Nickelodeon. Yeah. Right. I used to watch Nick at Night too.
Yeah.
Which was some TV shows from the 70s and 80s.
Exactly.
Being from Brooklyn, Welcome Back Kater was on Nick at Night.
Right. So exactly.
I would watch some of that as well.
Yeah. All in the Family and all of them. Mary Tyler Moore show. All now it's like they show Friends. It's like, why are you showing Friends? Is on 9 million channels.
Because we're old. Because we're old. That's
but it's
why.
Like, even then, like, you wouldn't see Welcome Back Kater on like any other channels. Whereas Friends, I think they show Friends on the WeatherNet channel too.
Mm-hmm.
Just everywhere. You know, but it's like I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember the show. You can't do that on television, where slime and, you know, Alanis Morissette was.
What about Wild and Crazy Kids? Wild and Crazy, were wild and crazy. They had like the teams, and they would do all these kind of, you know, they'd have like kind of, I don't know what you would call it, just kind of games outdoors and kind of challenges, and they'd have accumulated points, and they were just regular kids with different colored shirts, and you'd watch that. So we're dating ourselves, but that's quite all right. Interested to see. Good creative idea by hockey. Kudos to the Islanders. I'm not sure if they offered it to other teams, and the Islanders were the team. You know, the Islanders, the not, you know, we're not that boring franchise, and we're not that button up Lou Lamoriello rung team. They can't have a little fun here and let our hair down a little bit. But we are the Nickelodeon team on April the 3rd. Other things around the Islanders, I want to give a shout out, and you could probably do this every week. Shout out to the Blue Line Deli and Bagels for their new table shaker sandwich, bacon, egg and cheese, hash brown, the stable shaker hot sauce, created for Yes Men outfitter Darren, in stock. These guys do not stop coming out with creative ideas. It is unbelievable what Donald and those guys do at the Blue Line, Deli and Bagels, just, you know, whenever you think they've kind of maxed out their Islander themed products, they're able to come up with some more. And that looked very cool. The labeling looked awesome. Again, hate the fact that I'm so far away and cannot get there and visit, but very cool. Very cool to see.
Yeah, that's what I was going to bring up too, because I love breakfast sandwiches, especially with hot sauce. I love hot sauce. It's like one of my, you know, passions. So that looks really, really good. Yeah. For Valentine's Day or something, my wife got me this big hot sauce set that I have to try. And then for my birthday last week, if people who gone to Buffalo know Wings, a place called Duff's, and then shipped wings to my house. It's from a site called Gold Belly that uses basically all around the country. You can get all these fantastic, you know, foods from the country. So I got about 50 wings shipped from Buffalo my birthday last weekend. Oh man, it was great. So that's my mom for that birthday gift. But I actually gotta get to Blue Line Deli real soon, because that sandwich looks delicious and so does the hot sauce. So definitely, yeah, gotta make a trek out there.
Yeah, listen, those guys work their tails off and do a lot of good stuff in the community and create a theme around the Islanders, and they continue to push it, and just another really great product there. And I guess sticking with Yes Men Outfitters, Darren also released a design of his that he calls Goriton, kind of a play on the Gordon's Fisherman. The shirts were printed by Spectrum Designs, a Long Island apparel company located in Port Washington, who employs those with intellectual and developmental disabilities. He took $10 from each sale of the tees and donated them towards My Buddies New York, an organization offering one-on-one friendships, integrated employment, and leadership programs. He ordered 250 tees, and that would be a $2,500 donation in honor, of course, of Nolan Trotz, Barry Trotz's son, who does have some developmental disabilities himself. And so just a really great idea and concept to put together. And I'm sure he has, if he hasn't already, will blow through the 250 tees that were originally the target. And it's a really cool t-shirt. People are starting to receive them, and he's putting out lots of tweets of people receiving I don't know how to describe it. It kind of has it's the Islander logo with a little bit of I Still Know What You Did Last Summer vibe. Fisherman goalie on there. Congratulations to Devin, and great idea, and for a great cause.
Yeah, absolutely. And hopefully when the shirts get back in stock, I'll have to pick one up, because those are really fantastic looking. But a little bit of news. Thank God the Rangers won tonight. Rangers beat the Capitals. So let's give some props to the Rangers. So the Islanders only trail the Caps by two going to Thursday night's game.
So big opportunity for the Islanders to get you know, a little payback on the Capitals. Rangers do them a favor. It's a nice win for Dan Quinn and the Rangers there, especially after being down early in that game 2-0. I did not see, so I just got the news from you. But listen, teams lose games, people. I know it didn't feel that way sometimes, and the standings are very condensed with the way they're playing teams this year and the condensed schedule and a lot of games in a short period of time. But, you know, good teams do lose. If you look at how good the Capitals have played all year long and you look at the fact that the Islanders are 2 points behind them, what really are we complaining about in a year where the Islanders have lost their captain and their leading scorer? So, yeah, thank you, Blue Shirts. I don't want the Rangers to win too much, you know. There was a point there I said this week that, you know, there's an outside chance. Let's say the Rangers would finish fourth in the division and the Islanders would finish first.
Right.
That, you know, what a shame it would be that, you know, 27 years after 1994, the team probably beat up in a playoff series and you'd have, you know, 1,500, 2,000 fans at the Coliseum and at the Garden. Although that'd be a pretty cool way to kind of send off the Coliseum with one more final Ranger Islander series. Although I don't think my heart could take it without trips to the Blue Line Deli and Bagels.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, sneaking in hot sauce at the Coliseum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, I think we're even tempered. We're even keeled. Things are okay. Islanders are going to make a trade. We're going to reevaluate what the roster looks like at that point, and hopefully it kickstarts them and provides a spark, and they're able to maybe surprise some people and get some revenge against the Capitals here. And by the time we're doing this next week, post-Easter and Passover, Islanders will be solidified in their playoff position even a little bit more, and maybe in first place. Or they'll slide down the standings, be firmly in third place, trying to hold off the Bruins for fourth, and the Flyers will be within 6 points. So it's one or the other, Noel, and between now and the next time we meet.
Yeah, there's you know, it's black or white. There's no gray areas in this. So, sorry, Islander fans.
All right, so that'll do it for this episode of PT Isles. Special thanks once again to Steven Nisifaro. Check out his YouTube channel, Islanders Pride, and the Twitter account at Isles History Today. Next up for the Islanders, they are home to the Washington Capitals on April 1st before they host the Flyers on April 3rd and then bring back the Capitals to the Coliseum for another home game on April 6th. For Noel Fogelman, I am Joe Bono. We will talk to you next week, Islanders Country. Good night.